Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify if you know he's awesome. Say it. Your voice is safe.
Come on,
somebody.
listening to each and every one of you. The song that you heard was Awesome by Charles Jenkins. And I just want to thank God for Jesus. I'm Prophet Shirley Kane with Linda Walk, the Jesus Ministry, the ministry that helps the lost and the hopeless to find their way to Jesus. And I am just so delighted that you joined me. Those of you on the phone lines, in the chat room, or any way that you are listening, I thank you for the support of this ministry. I pray that you had a super, super day, a prosperous day. Even when we have a lousy day, I just still want to encourage you because, see, we still have to be thankful that God helped us through the day. Because at the end of your day, you don't know how God's going to do it. And he can do more than what you can ask or think. And only the grace and the mercy of God can pull that off. And I just say, God bless each of you and sustain you in everything you do. And I always like to encourage you before getting into the word. And I do have a long word tonight. That's why I didn't play but one song. And I'm going to play one more song, and then we're going to have to get into the word. Because God has downloaded some stuff for me. And it's not favorable stuff, but it's going to bless your heart. It's going to make you think. It's going to make you want to just get things in order in your life so that you can be blessed. Do you realize a lot of our blessings is because we are not obedient to the word of God and because we are not doing what God has told us we need to do? And I want you to know even with that, God still embraces. He still loves us. And I want you to know God has not forgotten us. He's always working on our behalf. He never sleeps nor slumbers. See, God is about to release some things to his people. And I prophesied to people, and God be showing me stuff that he's got on hold or that he's about to release. And people don't get the bigger picture because they're so focused on what's going on with them. And God is showing me that they're worrying for nothing or they are focused on what not to be, and God is about to do things. And that's why a lot of time when God do things for us, it blows our mind. I know it blows my mind. But I just want to encourage you tonight to keep dreaming, keep believing, keep living with expectation, and know that God is about to do a supernatural overflowing blessing in your life. And just to let you know that everything we need is at his disposal. I just want to say what a mighty God we serve. And right now we just need to magnify his holy name. For he is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. And let us always be thankful for his mercy and his goodness. Amen. I'm going to play one more song and then we're going to get into the word because I tell you, it's a lot, but I'm just going to be obedient to God.
Why follow me down to the Come on, church. Eat green grass and give you white milk. But if you think that's something, God's chemical laboratory of redemption took my black soul and dipped it in red blood. And I came out white as snow. Oh!
Changed by LaShawn Pace Rose. I thank God for Jesus, and we're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to get into this word. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Father, I ask that you set the atmosphere in this message on tonight. Let every word from you go forth that you speak to me. I ask that you decrease me and increase you in this word. May our spirits be in agreement with your Holy Spirit. Allow this word to penetrate our spirits and our mind that we can meditate on it and it continually to minister to us. Even that what we don't understand, Lord, give us revelation. Father, and I just pray, dear God, whatever is troubling us in our spirits, God, that you will relieve us of it all, God. If we just turn it over to you, Lord, and you will do your will. Oh, Father, and I just thank you right now. We counsel the devil plans and plots, and we counsel every thought of him intervening in this message. And we just going to pray that the word will go forth and penetrate our hearts, that we may examine ourselves and change our attitude, that we will be only hearers and not doers of the word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen. Thank God for that prayer. And our scripture reading is going to come from Mark, the book of Mark, the 9th chapter, the 33rd through the 37th verse. And it says, then they came where he was in the house. He asked them, what are you arguing about on the way? This is Jesus talking to the disciples. But they were silent because on the way they had been arguing with one another about who was the greatest. Verse 35, sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And then 36 said, then he took a child. He had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one little child such as this in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but him who sent me. May God give a blessing to the reading of that word. And what I want to talk about tonight is the greatest church. The greatest church. And I know when people hear that, they're like, the greatest church. See, when Jesus had to correct his disciples, obviously there was a desire among those 12 disciples to be recognized as the greatest in God's kingdom. And they argued who would be the greatest. And before we start judging the disciples for their selfish desire, we need to remember that they were human just like us. And deep within us, we all have a desire to be recognized for what we do. Ephesians 4:11, he personally gives some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. We are set apart for the work that God has called us to do. And see, many of us get busy doing all and everything, serving the Lord, trying hard also to please the pastor when it should be done unto the Lord. And I'm not saying that all pastors enjoy it, because some of our leaders, they do expect the members to bow down to him or her. Like I say, this is not going to be a favorable subject tonight, but I must speak the truth. I must speak what God said. He recognized and he wants me to remind the people of what they are doing. As always, the glory belongs to the Lord. Joshua 24:15 says, "And it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods with the small g, which is your father, sir, that we are on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And you know, as the old folks say, serving the Lord does pay out. And we have a congregation sitting among us with gifts, and sometimes they are not utilized to edify and to build the body of Christ. We try to keep it all in the family, and it really becomes the family church. Ooh, did I say that? Yes, I did. I'm bold enough to say that because it is what it is. But for whatever reason, oftentimes people feel comfortable when trusting their family, but we must be very careful of who we appoint or pick to lead a ministry. We must ask God for guidance even when it's with the family. Because one thing about it, you can't teach them how to have the anointing. You can't teach them how to be filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. You can't have them to prophesy. These gifts are given by God. Then it becomes man way if you got to teach these gifts to them or try to act like you activating these gifts in them, because they are already fulfilled with the gift. God has put purpose in each one. Didn't he just say in the scripture, "I give some"? Let me leave that alone for now. Because, see, we cannot expect those that's placed in ministry not to come perfect, with no flaw. And let me explain something to you. The appointee, it may be okay, and they may be okay. They may be qualified for the job. They may have all the potentials and the qualities to do the job. But remember, they will be dealing with opposition from someone in the group, the ministry group that they are over. And it's always going to be opposition when you're trying to serve the Lord wholeheartedly in your spirit and truth. And that's why you have to be appointed for the job, not only by your pastor or the leader, but appointed by God, because he's going to fill you and prepare you and equip you for the work. Listen to me. If they're not equipped to get the work done properly the way God called for them to do it, then they are not qualified for the job. Because God says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." And what's going to happen, the church will go in default. And now you're wondering, why are people leaving? Are the pews becoming empty? We must be prayerful and led by the Spirit of God, who is what is good in the body of Christ. We must always fast and pray to get instructions of our assignment for God. The scripture tells us that God equips us for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. But many times we want to feel people in positions that's our friends or somebody we like or they big time tithers. Did I say that? Yes, I said that. Just like the people in the workplace, people want to be recognized. They want to be rewarded for a job well done. Companies recognize and reward employees who have perfect attendance, who achieve production goals, who attain a long length of service. You got athletes who perform well on the field or on the court. They are recognized and rewarded for their achievement. So when people do something, they usually want to be recognized. If you read in 1 Corinthians 4 through 11, and I'm just going to paraphrase, it talks about there are different gifts but the same Spirit. There are different ministries but the same Lord. There are different activities but the same God. Activates, but the same God activates each gift and each person. It didn't say the same man activates each gift and each person. It says the same God activates each gift and each person. I don't know where people come with this. I'm going to activate them as a prophet or whatever. You can't activate nothing in nobody. You can help the gift alone. You can nurture it, but you can't activate it. Let's stop that. That's a lie from the pits of hell. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what's beneficial. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another one, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the performance of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of language. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one in the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. He wills, as God wills, not as man wills, but as God wills. I'm tired of the foolishness. We got to stop this. We got so many people walking around blind, believing what men say, and they're not even trying to hear what God is saying or believe what God is saying because they're not getting in that word and studying that word and breaking that word down and getting the right revelation. They're letting man tell them. Today we're going to deal with important questions, and one of them is, does God recognize and reward some Christians more than others? So who get recognized and rewarded by God? You will notice nowhere in my text that I referred to the church building. Instead, I addressed it as the body of Christ. The church is within the person who is serving Christ. That is what my topic's about. The greatest church. The church, therefore, I'm talking about is not a place, it's not a building, it's not the location, it's not the denomination. We, God's people who are in Christ Jesus, are the church. When it comes to recognizing and rewarding anything, there are some things that can happen. And I have some points I want to discuss. And the first point is we often argue who should be recognized and rewarded. In verse 33, when Jesus came to Capernaum, he was in the house. He asked them, what was you disputing among yourselves on the road? Obviously, the disciples had been comparing their work. Whenever you begin comparing who is the greatest, an argument will usually happen. People often argue what pastor can preach the best. But I'm here to tell you, if that message does not convict anyone who is living in sin or change the content of their heart, then the sermon was meant to pamper your emotions and not your soul. People associate with popular names and churches as though it is where the diehard truth comes from. They don't listen to little old me because some people tell me, I preach too hard. You preach too hard. People start being convicted, and they don't want to hear that. No, they don't want to hear the word sin, unforgiveness, fornication, adultery, anything that can say, I am judging. Many may say, I'm being a hater. But the truth of the matter is, I'm being obedient to the word of God. I'm not a perfect being. I have flaws. I mess up too. I'm a sinner, and I have to speak this word, and I have to correct myself. People use different standards when they define greatness. Telling people to repent is not favorable to many. It's a very rare subject spoken in the body of Christ. We hear many say this is modern-day worship, and we don't air out people dirty underwear, and we must not judge people lifestyle. As a prophet, I know many times I'm not received well as a mouthpiece for God because I'm not telling you about houses and cars and husbands and wives. I'm not telling you about you a good and faithful servant when you hate your brothers and sisters. I'm not going to sit here and contradict the word of God because the word of God is what I follow and the word of God is what I speak. And I can't do anything any other way. I have to be obedient. I've had my trials and tribulations. I had myself laying flat on my back because I was being disobedient and I was running from God, but not no more. When God picked me up and saved me and said, now will you go? And I've been going ever since, and I can't go back. I won't go back. I don't worry about people not accepting me because of my allegiance and my obedience to God and not me. That was the problem with Jezebel. She wanted prophets that would speak what she wanted. She even went as far as tearing down all the altars that belonged to God the Father. My question is, have the commandment of God became obsolete and not relevant in our lives anymore? You should show love to people, but you cannot be afraid of those who you lose friendship with because you're telling them the truth. We have to have law and order in this universe. That's why we have police and criminal justice system. God expects for us to live by his commandment, to live fruitful and wholesome lives. Us to be able to worship and be a servant for Jesus his way. Jesus showed us in his human form how to serve when he walked on this earth. He showed us how to live godly and holy. And I know we can't be that perfect, godly, holy person. But once we realize that we are, we fell out of the will of God, we should turn and repent and get ourselves back on track. And I know it doesn't help you to understand how it's possible to live holy when we are sinful beings. Remember, we are not trying to live a holy life in order to earn salvation, because living a holy life is a natural result of being saved by God's grace and filled with his Spirit. It is also important to not give up when we mess up, when we fail, when we fall. Our response should be to confess the sin, repent, and keep moving forward in our Christian walk. Because Romans 8:1 says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God's grace doesn't go away when we make mistakes. 1 John 1:9. It's 1 John, the first chapter, the 19th and 10th verse. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we don't have any sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 2, we should refrain from seeking recognition of who is the greatest. There is no one greater than our Heavenly Father and his Son, Jesus. We see bragging all the time in the body of Christ. But Psalm 75:4-5 say, I say to the boastful, do not boast to the wicked. Do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn against heaven or speak arrogantly. More and more pastors and ministers are boasting about their big ministry and the number of people they save. Boasting is showing pride and glorifying yourself. It takes the glory away from the Lord. If you want to glorify someone, then let it be Jesus and encourage others to do the same. Not to look up to you, but to look up to Jesus. Because James 4:16-7, it says, but as it is, you boast in your arrogancy. All such boasting is evil. 17, so it is a sin for the person who knows to do what is good and doesn't do it. In other words, there is no fashion or performance in speaking truth and correct doctrine to bring someone to Christ. Our compassion and thoughts should not be looking down on those who are not where you are. Verse 34 says, they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. The disciples had been arguing who was the greatest among them. When Jesus confronted them, they kept quiet. So should a Christian seek recognition of greatness? Well, let's go to Colossians 3:23-24. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know you will receive the inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. As Christians, we can know we are going to get a reward. God has a recognition and an incentive program better than any employer could ever dream of. If we perform our everyday work duties as unto the Lord, we're going to be recognized and rewarded by the Lord. It appears the disciples became ashamed of their attitude. And today's Bible passage indicates that Jesus is very interested, in recognizing and rewarding us. And there's a lot of controversy going on, and I hear it all the time, about leaders being taken care of, and everyone has a different opinion concerning it. And this is a very, very sensitive, and most people can be real cruel in their opinion and their thoughts of this. But this is what 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, the 17th through the 18th verse, and I'm reading this from the New King James Version. It says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. They're talking about the leaders, the pastors, or whoever, especially those who labor in the word and the doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Yes, we are to not only take care of our leaders' needs, and I'm not saying this just because I'm a pastor, because I'm not trying to win no brownie points for nobody to take care of me, but I appreciate anybody that's sowing to me, because I know that I work hard in the Word of God. I put this stuff together, and I meditate, and sometimes I even fast on this Word. And we are also to pray for them and intercede for their needs to be met, especially when you're not paying a salary to him or her. And even so, if you are, it does not hurt to sow into them because of their labor. And it does take finance to have a church building. The bills need to be paid. That's why it's important to seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. God will provide you the resources. I know firsthand what it's like. There were times when I was having church services in a building and the hotel or wherever I could have it at. The rent was paid somehow or some way, and it was without help from the congregation collection basket. So if you worry about depending only on your members, this is to the leaders and the pastors and what have you, it is God that you should depend on to take someone to sow into your church. I have watched people put a dollar bill, they ball it up, and they'll throw it in the offering basket. And not that indicates to me that it wasn't from their heart. But I have watched those same people struggle in their finances, and it was not about the amount. It was how they gave it. You have to have the right attitude in giving to the Lord and be a cheerful giver. You can't worry about, oh, this pastor don't need all this money. You don't know what that pastor needs are. And that ain't for you to worry about, because God is not blessing you for that. He's blessing you because of your heart and your giving of your heart. What we should be worried about is, did we do what was commanded by God? Because when you release the seed that you are sowing, it is in God's hand how to bless you. Worrying about what's to be done with the money means it was not from your heart. And see, the scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. And then it says the worker is worthy of his wages, meaning it is not good to put stress and strain on your leader by demanding unreasonable demands and allowing that Jezebel spirit to control his every move. We already know that you have those in your congregation that will cause havoc in the church. And in some churches, the leaders are paid to be controlled by the certain board members who oversee the church affairs. That's why it's important to do as God has instructed you and not to be controlled by the body. Don't worry about those who want to leave because you are following the order of God or you telling them about their sinful lifestyle. They may be your biggest tither, but they may not like the true doctrine of the word. Let them go. God will send you, and listen to me good, God will send you two or three big-time tithers to come into that church to replace that one. God will still meet your needs, because you never know how it's going, how it can or will be done, because someone can come to your church and be touched and write a check for $1 million. Just keep doing what God tells you by being obedient, and he will reward you through your obedience. Putting a muzzle on the ox will prevent it from obeying God, and then men become in control. Now we have a church that's out of order, and it will cause the leader to be on display while the church body is controlling the church. And now it becomes a head-on collision with failure. Never be paid by the to be controlled by the congregation. If you do it unto the Lord and be pleasing to him. Point three is Jesus recognized and rewarded us differently than the world do. Verse 35, Jesus, he sat down and he called the 12 and he said to them, if anyone desire to be first, he shall be last and of all and servant of all. Verse 36, he took a little child and he set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me, which is his Father. Many church people today are too self-righteous. They want certain people in their congregation, meaning they don't want people in their church who don't fit in their cliques or their circle. This world has chaos on top of chaos. So much deception and lies is waiting to destroy everything that is in you that is Christ-like. If you are not careful, you can be drawn into the worldly things that made it seem like it is the right thing to do. I want to urge you, my brothers and sisters, do not follow the way of the world. It is a deadly trap waiting to lure you in. If we want to be seen as great in God's kingdom and be just like Jesus, we need to open our arms to others. We must be willing to open our arms to the least and the lost. Notice in 35, the first thing Jesus did, he sat down. We can draw more people in our arms if we just be Christ-like and not think we are holier than thou. Jesus opened his arm to each of us at Calvary. He extended his mercy and his grace to us. So we need to offer grace to others. people that's trying to find their way, people that need to hear the true word of how Jesus loves them. I watch some things that people say and do, and they call themselves ministering to the people flaws. And what they don't realize, your tone, T-O-N-E, can run people away from Christ. You cannot make them stop what they're doing in that matter. You have to take a loving tone and not be so condemning and judgmental because you have delivered, because you have been delivered and set free. You were once like that. Somebody had to take out the time and give you an opportunity to really know what was your next obligation to yourself. God is a gentleman and compassion. I'm not telling anyone how to witness, but not what you say. It's not what you say. It's how you say it. Jesus is love, and we must display love to others. And I know that's kind of harsh, but that's the truth. And we need to do that. We can't be so hateful that we want to be hateful to others because we are not happy. That's not God's way. Okay, my point four, let me get off of that. I don't want to condemn people too hard about that, but we do need to do better with that. We need to show love and stop being so hate. You know, hatred, hate being hateful to other people because you don't know their story. And you don't know who they are. They may be Jesus. Okay, let's leave that alone. Point four, when it comes to receiving rewards, God is not confined to only your church. Verse 38, now John answered him saying, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name. And we forbade him because he does not follow us. Verse 39, but Jesus said, do not forbid them, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. Verse 40, for he says, who is not against us is on our side. You know, with so many different beliefs and different religions, there are some churches where the people think they are the only ones that have the truth. They believe that they are the only ones truly serving Jesus, but they don't believe in the work Jesus did. But see, we should be connected to Jesus to understand how the Holy Spirit works through us. Our gifts should always operate through the Spirit of God. For when we operate in the flesh, it destroys our obedience to God. And point five, and this is my last point, I'm almost finished. God sees what we do and rewards us. Verse 41, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. God sees the big stuff and the little stuff. God is very generous with his reward. He rewards anything done in his name. Helping someone that's less fortunate really pleases God. Body of Christ today need people who know who they are serving, know that he sees everything that they do for him, and do not wish to be seen and praised by the world. Matthew 6:2 says, so when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the street, so they may be honored by men. It's not saying don't let people know what you're doing, but don't give yourself all the praise that you've done this or you're doing this. Truly I say to you that they have reward in full. Do all things unto the Lord and let him be pleased with the works you do unto him. I know when I did the homeless ministry, I would share it on Facebook, and it wasn't that I was boasting, but to let the homeless is not forgotten. And I had compassion to minister to them. I prayed for them. I hugged them. You know, they wasn't feeling the best, but I wasn't worrying about that. I was just trying to reach them. I was trying to let them know that they are not counted out. I was trying to give them hope, to let them know that someone is caring about them. And maybe someone may have contemplated what ministry they can do. A lot of times I'll sell that, and it might find people to do the same. There is so much work in this world. People waiting for someone to tell them about Jesus or where they can find hope. And I have heard people tell me that they had experiences going in a church building, and I would tell them, don't go looking for the people. Go looking for Jesus. See, the world may not recognize and reward us for all the things we do in Jesus' name, and we shouldn't want the world to reward us or to recognize us, because there is always a hidden agenda that comes with it. And so God recognizes and he rewards us. We must open our arms wide and give many cups of water to others. We must pray for the less fortunate, the hopeless, the sick, the drug addict, the prostitute, the alcoholic, children who have lost their ways, families, and marriages. It's not always about what we need or going through, but remembering others that need to be lifted up to our Heavenly Father. Know through your prayers for others, God will see about your situation. And I just want to give a short testimony since I'm talking about that. When I was going through my cancer journey, and yes, I just come out of cancer in remission, I was angry and I was resentful. And when I finally accepted the diagnosis, I started building my faith that Jesus was my healer. I stood on that word. I swallowed that word. I woke up with that word. I went to sleep with that word all during the day. I was repeating that word. I was standing on the word of Jesus. And I found myself praying for others and encouraging those that the doctors had gave up on even. That is the greatest work that we can give to others. So we must work together, everybody on the same accord, to build the work of the body of Christ. And the greatest church, which is my topic, is the person who carries the church in their heart and their soul, and that cares about God's people and their soul. And that is the greatest church that pleases God. Amen. Closing in prayer for your word. The word that went forth this morning, this evening, and if anyone don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray, dear God, that they will ask you into their lives and that into their soul, their heart, and their mind, that they will ask you for forgiveness and to cleanse them with your precious blood of righteousness. Lord, purge them and make them whole in you, God. Give them hope and give them love and grace them, God. Speak to them. Minister to their spirits, God, that they will know that you cares for them, because you said in your word that you cares for us. And I pray, dear God, those that have listened to this word on tonight, that they will position themselves to be victorious against any situation that comes upon them. Oh, God, I thank you for your word and your prophetic anointing over our lives. Lord, I take that everyone who's listening, that something was said to get them confirmation of the promises, the blessing, and the breakthrough in their life. Lord, even those that will listen later on and I chide, God, I pray, dear God, that they will be moved in their spirit, God, and that they will recalculate their lives and bring themselves to where they need to be in you. Lord, we thank you that you have touched each of our hearts that you have given us the word of comfort. We thank you, God, for the overflowing mercy that you show us each day. Oh, God, I pray you will equip us with the gift of the Holy Spirit that we may be effective in our work for you. Lord, you said you shall supply all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we know that there is no lack in you, God. We know that every need is being met, God. We thank you, God, that even in our struggles, that our struggles has been defeated, that we are standing before our giants, and they must know that they must fall. Lord, that we know we are in you. Lord, give us discernment. Give us wisdom. Give us the strength to endure. Lord, I want to address sickness right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare that we are healed and walking in wholeness by the stripes of Jesus. And I thank you, God, because we're going to give you the praise. And, God, I ask you to give it all to us, Lord, everything that we rightfully deserve, God. Father, and everything that we have, that you give us, God, let us not just hold on to it selfishly, Lord. Let us share with someone that has a need, God, because I know your blessings is revolving, and the more we bless others, the more you're going to bless us. Oh, Father, help us to get that concept down pat. Oh, God, we're coming up on the holiday season. And, Father, and I pray, dear God, that we will prepare and find some that want somebody that we can bless. Oh, Father, and I just thank you, God. We give it all to you, Lord. We wait on your manifestation in your word and in your action. Oh, God, thank you for honoring every word that was spoken here tonight. We're going to glorify you and honor you. And we're going to adore you, God. We praise you. And you are awesome. Oh, God, I thank you. Oh, God, I praise you. I hear God saying while I'm sitting here, and I don't know who this is for, and it may not be for nobody on the line or that's listening now. It may be for someone that may listen in our chimes later. But it, even if it ain't for you, I pray that God will open the door and redirect it to be your blessing too. But I hear God saying that there's been monies on hold. I don't know what kind of monies it is, but it's some monies that you've been waiting for and that you've been being fought for. The devil have came and he have tried to take everything, even your hope and your will. But God said he's going to release it, and it's bigger than what you can even know. It's more than what has been told to you, because it's going to be recalculated, and it's going to be zeros. I see zeros being added to that amount. Hallelujah, Jesus. And that's what I just heard God say, release this word to somebody. And I pray that it's for everybody on the line, including me. I don't know what I'm waiting on, but I never be surprised and unexpected of what God might do. Because, see, he don't always reveal things to us. Even me being a prophet, he don't reveal everything to me. But he just released that in my spirit, and I just had to release it to you all. So praise the Lord, and I just want you to start praising God right now before the breakthrough comes. And I just want you to be happy in Jesus. And even when things is continuing to disappoint you, you praise him even for the disappointment. Because, see, the devil wants you to get so discouraged. Oh, my God, he wants you to get so discouraged. But I speak to you tonight. God say, do not be dismayed. And he say, and do not be concerned about the fiery darts that come against you. That's what I heard God say. Because he say, sooner or later, them fiery darts is going to, they're going to turn around and they're going to go into another direction. It's going to go to whoever sent it or however it was sent. It's gonna bag up and go the other way. So do not fear what will not be. Trust God. Believe in him. Get up every day with expectation. Don't even start worrying yourself about God when you're going to do it. Just be in position and ready to receive it. I praise God. I thank God for that word. And I'm going to try to end this prayer unless God has something else he want to speak to me. But you are awesome, God. And I just thank you, Lord, and I just praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. I thank you all so very much for sticking with me. And I know it was kind of long tonight, but we got through it. And I pray that you were truly, truly blessed. And I pray that, you know, you heard this word and you know where you need to get things in perspective where it needs to be, because God is an awesome God. I don't care what nobody say. I know what he done to me, because when I went in that doctor's office and when I was diagnosed with cancer, I could see it in his face. And he was saying, your cancer is so aggressive, ma'am. I don't know if we're going to really, really, we're going to, it's 50-50. I said, no, it's 100. And he said, well, ma'am, this cancer you have is aggressive. I said, my God is an aggressive healer. Thank you, Jesus. And then he had the backtrack. And he had to tell me, I didn't do the chemo, but he had to tell me. He said, I've never had a patient that had chemo and healed in the midst of chemo as fast as you have. I said, I told you my God is 100% aggressive. And so now when I go in there and he said, oh, you're doing so well. He said, don't tell me, yo Jesus. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, it's not about me. I'm going to open up the phone line, because I'm just so excited, and I hope I'm encouraging anyone that may be going through it to know that God can do it. He can do it. I don't care what the doctors say. It's what God says, and that's what we got to stand on. Praise Jesus. I'm going to open up the phone line. Woo, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to open up the phone line, 657-383-0086. That's 657-383-0086. If you press 1, it'll bring in queue, and I will be glad to hear anything you want to share with me. If you want to share something about the word or add to the word, you just press that 1, and it'll bring you on in. And I got somebody in the chat room. Somebody was in the chat room, but they left. God bless them, whoever it was. I hope that I didn't run them off. But anyway, the word just have to go forward, y'all. And, you know, it convicts me even so, too, because sometimes even though I'm absorbing the word from God, it convicts me and it reminds me of where I'm at in Jesus. So, you know, don't feel like the Lone Ranger, because it affects me too in so many ways. And I just have to look at myself and put myself where I need to be. But nobody's raising a hand, and I have already kept you all an hour. This show is 2 hours. But I don't use the 2 hours, because I got the 2 hours. I did what I needed to do, and that was disperse this word. And I'm glad that we got through the word and didn't have no mishap. And so today is Tuesday, and we still got some more days left in this week. And I pray that you will have a very, very prosperous week, that you will be blessed. And be expecting. Wake up every day and say, I'm expecting God's best. And then you say, it's harvest time. And then you just go on to work with a smile on your face. And I know the enemy is going to try to meet you somewhere. But laugh at him and tell him to move out of your way, because you got somewhere to be. And my God is tougher than you. And so I bless you. I bless your household, your finances, your health. I bless you in everything that you do, that it will be prosperous. I bless you that you will not have any lack. And I pray that your week will be a blessed week. And I will not be on here next Tuesday. I have to go meet my grandchildren's teachers. I have to go and see who they are. And then I ask the Lord to show me their heart. And then I pray about those things. See, prayer, arguing with people is okay. That's what you want to do. But prayer is the greatest weapon that you can use. And so I bless you. I'm Prophet Shirley Kane, Win the Walk to Jesus Ministry. And I just want to say good night to you, and may God bless you. And I'm going to play my favorite song. I don't know the artist's name, but I love this song. So I'm going to say good night to you and have a peaceful sleep tonight in Jesus.
When I think of the good and it's of Jesus and all he's done for me, you know my soul cries out, hallelujah, oh Lord. And I thank God for saving me. Let me say it again. When I think of the good and it's of Jesus it's home.